Creator so excites our eyes. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
This is full-time Catholic radio for Southeast Michigan, 990 WDEO, Ypsilanti, Detroit.
The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio, and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Peaking, all biorhythms in sync, aligned with Jupiter and Mars. Was aligned with Pluto till Pluto got the boot. I liked Pluto when I was in elementary school. Pluto was my favorite planet. Then to find out it's not a planet anymore, it's just a big rock. Which raises the question, in the overall scheme of things, planets are very small. So couldn't they just be called big rocks? Why Pluto gets dumped on? Anyway, kind of stuff I wrestle with, and that's why I'm confused about life. Dr. Ray Guarendi, thanks for joining me here on The Doctor Is In. Monday through Friday, this is E-Person Monday, where we take your emails, read them, analyze them, dissect them, digest them. I knew we had to have a way to basically get to an awful lot of your communication via the internet. In the past, I've asked you to call the program. However, we've been able to stack them up. Now, the stack is getting higher and higher and higher, which basically means this. I got to figure out how to solve this problem. When the emails come in, it is usually a week or two or three or four or five or six or more before I get to them. And as the stack gets higher, the delay is longer. I usually tell folks, I may deal with this on E-Person Monday, but, well, anyway, I want to do the monologue, but just give you a flavor of what we're going to get into today. This is an interesting one, and what happens when your kid doesn't talk to you? Your kid's mad at you. Kid refuses to talk with you. Now, if you took a poll of 100 experts, I think the majority of them would say, well, you just accept that he's upset and in time he'll calm down and he'll want to talk to you. I'm not coming from that perspective. So we're going to talk about what happens when you get so mad he doesn't want to talk to you. Here's a mom. She cited her organization as a homeschool family zoo. She's depressed. She's retreating from family members because the way she's choosing to do things as a stay-at-home mom and as a homeschooler is really not understood. This one is a three-year-old. Now, somebody might say, Dr. Ray, come on. Well, it's three-year-olds. I'm not going to be able to relate to this. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Because the goal of this program is to broaden out any of these questions so people can say, oh, well, at the very least, I hadn't thought about that. Three-year-old who's described as hypersensitive. But is this so? How do you determine whether a kid is hypersensitive or being majorly bratty? Got that one. And then if we get to it, a lack of trust from a spouse who has found out. Well, she found out a long time ago that her husband was addicted to pornography. Supposedly, he's abandoned that practice. He's moved past it, but she hasn't. Major, major trust struggle after 6 years. So, that's the stack right now. Now, Andrew badgered me, Andrew Kruchek, my producer man, phone picker-upper. He badgered me because on a previous program, we were talking a little bit about flashbulb memories. A flashbulb memory is something that is seared into your memory banks because there was a powerful emotion attached to it at the time it occurred. Older folks will say, I remember exactly where I was when I heard that John Kennedy was assassinated. A little bit later, some people will say, oh, I'll never forget what I was doing when the shuttle disaster was made public or when I saw it on TV. Still later, 9/11. Where were you when you saw or heard about 9/11? People say, I'll never forget it. I remember exactly where it was. It was seared into my consciousness. Well, I went to a workshop on memory. It was a fascinating workshop. And there was this very, very wascoey professor who did a little experiment. I believe it was 9/11. And he asked his students, it was the next day or a couple days later, very fresh after the event. He asked his students, write down exactly where you were and what you were doing when you either first saw this on TV, when the news first hit you. Your immediate reaction, time, place, person, when you heard this. They all did. Okay. So he took their reports, put them in a little file, and he kept them. For years. I don't remember the exact details of the way he structured this, but I think I got the gist of it. Some years later, of the students he could find, he asked them again, where were you? What was going on? Time, place, person? When you first heard about 9/11. Foresaw 9/11. Oh, never forget it. Never forget it. Could you write it down, please? They did. And then he said, how certain are you that your memory's correct? Oh, come on. This is flashbulb memory stuff, man. They remember this. For certain, this is the way it is. I forget the percentage, but it was significant. Maybe not the majority, but it was a decent-sized minority who had changed their memory. They reported being someplace else when they first heard this, or in different circumstances when they first heard. How did this happen? How did that shift? Now, that's the mystery, how that stuff occurs. But the point is this, memory is very malleable. It shifts. It moves. We think that our memory is reliable. That we know exactly what happened, when it happened, because I'll never forget it. What I think is one explanation is as we move through life, we have more and more memories, more and more experiences, and they're piled on top of what we thought we remembered so clearly. And they get mixed in. Somehow, some way, they're sort of mixed in. I had an interesting experience once, and I don't know if this is the exact same phenomenon, but it does explain it. I went to work in Lisbon, Ohio, as one of my internships. This was, I was 24. Now, Lisbon, Ohio is a tiny little town on Route 30 in Ohio. Beautiful little gazebo right in the middle of the town square. You can go around the town square where the tiny little businesses are all scattered around the little town square. Very picturesque. When I drove into Lisbon from Kent State, where I was a student, immediately I was struck Why do I know this place? I've never been here before. I've never, ever been here before. This is a major deja vu all over again. How do I get this feeling? And it was unmistakable. It was unmistakable. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, did I have a dream? Did I have some kind of dream that more or less resembled this particular picturesque scene? It wasn't until probably 2, 3, 4, 5 years later that the mystery was solved. And it had buried itself down in my consciousness, came in, and caused the confusion. I had a couple friends who made a bike trip. They wanted to make this bike trip, I don't know if it was across the country or to the Atlantic. On Route 30, keep in mind, Route 30 is the main drag through Lisbon, Ohio. Old Route 30, Lincoln Highway. They said to me, Ray, you want to go with us? We want to drive some of the places that we went to. This was after their trip. They had come back, and they wanted to car trip it. I said, yeah, I'll go with you. As they drove, it was late at night, I fell asleep in the car. They went through Lisbon, Ohio, and I woke up for a brief moment and looked around and said, Oh, that's really nice. Look at that. And I went back to sleep. Buried within my memories. Just sitting there. And it wasn't until I realized that is what had happened that made me think I had been there before. I was looking for every other explanation in the world. Did I dream it? Did I go through another town that looked just like it? How did this happen? It was very real. I knew I had seen that place. And the reason was because I had. But I didn't remember it. It got mixed in. All right. When we come back, I really want to tackle this because I'm seeing more and more of this. And it frustrates me. And there is a twist on this that indicates why this should not be allowed when you have a child who gets upset at the parent and in the upset refuses to talk to the parent. This is Dr. Ray. This is E-Person Monday. This is The Doctor Is In. This is a break.
This Ave Maria radio program is brought to you in part by St. Gregory Retreat Centers, the new standard for recovery. St. Gregory Retreat Centers offers substance abuse treatment options using traditional Catholic teaching about virtue and access to daily Mass and reconciliation, combined with the latest evidence-based practices in substance abuse. More information is available at 888-778-5833 or online at stgregoryctr.com.
Cresta in the Afternoon is underwritten in part by Charity Mobile. Communication is critical, and in today's world, your cellular service is your lifeline to family and friends. Ave Maria Radio and Charity Mobile are partners in communicating the most important message of all, the good news of Jesus Christ. Charity Mobile is a provider of cellular LTE phones and service and has been a proud supporter of Ave Maria Radio and other pro-life causes for more than 10 years. More information at charitymobile.com. Charity Mobile. Charity begins at phone.
Today's programming on Ave Maria Radio is brought to you in part by a contribution made from our day sponsor. To announce the 4th Annual Lansing Diocese Catholic Women's Conference, Saturday, October 24th at the Causeway Bay Hotel in Lansing. Featured speakers include Ave Maria Radio's own Sister Sarah Burdick. To register, go to LansingDioceseCWC.org. If you have a message you want to share, be a day sponsor at 877-288-1077.
Have you lost a loved one? Do you have questions regarding estate settlement? How are my taxes, estate plan, and investment plan affected by the loss of a loved one? How will my Social Security be affected? And will I have enough income to maintain my standard of living? To answer these questions and for assistance in all estate settlement matters, contact the experts at Michigan Retirement Specialist, 313-2-RETIRE. Again, 313-2-RETIRE.
Dr. Ray Grindy, thank you so much for joining me here on The Doctor Is In. This is Eat Person Monday. We take your emails, analyze them, dissect them, digest them, and see what we can comment on. I don't want these emails just to be a, here's the question, what's your answer? No. We can't do that here. We don't diagnose here. We can't do the stuff of professional psychology. We can educate and give thoughts and ideas. By the way, the TV show, Living Right with Dr. Ray, airs on Saturdays at 10 p.m. Eastern Time, as well as a couple times during the week. We are taping Season 5. That's right, I'm going to get this right eventually. In Cleveland, Ohio, we would absolutely love to have you in the audience, and it's very close. You got a few more days. Let's fill up those audiences. The audience is the greatest part of the show, my opinion. That is not humility. That is truth. When you got a live audience, they carry on, they add energy to the show. We have multiple segments. We have Father Larry Richards. We have Teen Think. We have Wisdom of the Ages. We've got Advice Worth Ignoring. All kinds of stuff. And we feed you. So a couple of you big homeschooling families or a couple of you big families, you bring your whole family there, you fill up half our audience. That's okay. We want you there. If you go to drray.com, D-R-R-A-Y.com, all the show times are there. The address of the place in, really, basically Parma, Ohio. So many, many of our affiliates are easily within driving distance. You want to have your face on EWTN, do it. We do a lot. In my opinion, they show the audience a little too much more than they show me. But that's the way it is. So I'd love to have you. Please, two more days. Friday, of course, Father John Ricardo will be my guest, as well as Tom Monahan. And Saturdays and Sundays, we do have some seats open. So, reserve your spot. Tells you how to do that, too. Hello, Dr. Ray. My wife and I have 5 children, and then he lists the ages. I don't want to give too much of that away. We have a 16-year-old son who gets angry at me for various perceived reasons and continues to stay mad and does not speak to me. I have apologized for whatever hurts I may have caused him, and I've mentioned to him that we need to talk, but he refuses. He talks and communicates with my wife and asks her for things, but he continues to ignore me. I mentioned to my wife that if he continues, there has to be consequences for this. Going days and weeks, not speaking to a parent or anyone in the same household is not acceptable, in my opinion. What are your thoughts on this? Jeff, you just expressed my thoughts in your last line. It's not acceptable. Now, one might say, maybe Jeff is a jerky father, and this poor 16-year-old boy just doesn't know how to deal with his dad. But Jeff is saying here, I apologized for whatever hurts I may have caused them, and we need to talk. He refuses. Jeff, if your situation is one that I see more often than the parent is a jerk, it is, I'm mad at you, and I'm going to punish you by being cold. And I'm mad at you because you're not letting me do what I want, or you're making me do something I don't want. Now, Jeff, first of all, this is a major form of disrespect, in my opinion. Major. Rude. Obnoxious. But we'll get to that. A couple variables. he talks and communicates with my wife. Wait a minute. Is your wife willing to say, hey, this is not permissible that you talk to me and you ask me for things, because I will tell you, son, anything you ask me for is no. As long as you are doing this to your father, it is no. Jeff, I would hope she'd back you up that way. Now, what makes me a little nervous here is that in these situations, sometimes I see the one spouse saying, well, you know, you didn't handle it right, so I could see why he wouldn't talk to you. In other words, there's disagreement among the parents. I hope that's not your case here, Jeff. But let me continue. You said, I mentioned to my wife that if he continues, there has to be consequences for this. I'm assuming you're saying there haven't been consequences for the kid's 16 years old, Jeff. I would wonder why there weren't consequences from the very get-go, the first time he did it. Very simple. The consequences would be you have to ask politely and have communication and thoughtful interchange to get any privileges. You're not going to live here and get all your privileges and perks and goodies by basically shutting out a parent. Essentially saying, you ticked me off, father. So therefore, I shun you. I shake the dust off my sandals with you. My opinion? This is a major form of disrespect. Oh, it may not be as ugly as yelling or snotty tone or snarky remarks. It may not be quite that ugly. But it is still a very punishing kind of, I'm going to make you feel rotten. I'm going to show you what I think of you. Jeff, you got another problem here. You got four kids younger than him watching this. Do you think that one or two of them, depending upon their temperament, as they move into this age group and become a little frustrated with you and your particular rules and conditions as a father, might not say, hey, worked for Big Brother. Why won't it work for me? Mom will still talk to me. Mom will still give me stuff. Mom will still let me get my license. Mom will still give me money. Mom will still wash my clothes. Mom will still let me get on the computer and play my computer game. Jeff, what it sounds like you're saying is that there haven't been any results for this child essentially saying, I'm not giving you any due here, Dad. Then, Jeff, why would there be the perks and privileges that he gets at your hands if he's going to be across the board so rude? At least when a kid gets nasty vocally, it's usually a burst, correct? Snotty remark. Raised tone of voice. Ugly look. But it passes. This thing's ongoing. This is essentially, if you talk to me, Dad, I ignore you. I come downstairs and I see you, I go straight to Mom. In your face, Pop. Jeff, if you're not a jerk, and I suspect you're not, then your son has found a technique that he thinks is definitely more of a punishment than out loud disrespect. I have real strong feelings about this. And you know what part of it is, Jeff? I'll tell you what part of it is. It's ingratitude. I have no doubt, if you're a loving parent, you do all kinds of things for this kid. All kinds of things. Just in the mere running of the household, he has food, he has clothing, he has shelter, he has air conditioning, he has hot showers, he has games, he has books, he has electricity. He's got all kinds of stuff that you provide as a matter of course. That's okay. Because this time around, you didn't provide what he wanted. Whatever it was. And so therefore, you cease to exist.
Ooh, I'll tell you, I know how I'd react as a father to something like this. I really would. I would, hopefully I know my wife would agree with me in this one. She really would. I would never allow them to do that to her. Flat out. They would find out, without communicative respect, all the things that they took for granted have passed. Yow. All right. What else we got here? I want to go to that one or this one. I want to do Elizabeth here because the poor lady is finding herself kind of retreating from people because they're emotionally beating her up. Why? Because she's a mom. Man, that's pretty sinful, isn't it? Stolen family, too. That's what's bad about that.
Seriously? Are you kidding me? There is seriously no truck that can compare with the new Ram pickup. Sure, they're Ram tough, get 20 miles per gallon, and are the most comfortable and best-looking trucks on the road. But did you know they're also the most affordable? Hi, I'm Dan Hall from Pinckney Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. And during Ram Truck Month, payments are as low as $199 per month. Stop in today at Pinckney Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram or visit us online at PinckneyChrysler.com.
I'm Peggy Stanton, and I'm inviting you to join me on Power from the Pews when I interview the people who are engaged in remarkable ministries that are making a real difference in their parishes and the world. That's this Saturday at 11 a.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. on Ave Maria Radio.
Charity Mobile is the only pro-life mobile phone corporation. LifeSite News recently featured Corporate Watchdog's Second Vote and their research of corporations that fund Planned Parenthood. The article concluded that only 7 corporations are ranked as being pro-life, while 234 corporations have abortion-supporting scores. Charity Mobile is one of the 7 pro-life corporations and the only mobile phone company. 5% of your monthly talk plan price goes to the pro-life charity of your choice, and there are no contracts, no termination fees, and no risk with your 30-day trial. Call 877-474-3662 or go to CharityMobile.com today. Mention Ave Maria Radio and get a free 4G LTE smartphone plus free activation and free shipping. Life is calling. Take it with you. Call 877-474-3662 or go to CharityMobile.com today.
What happens when you brainwash your children? That's right. You make them think that there are things that no human being should think. You make them be virulently countercultural. This is Dr. Ray Guarendi on The Doctor Is In, Monday through Friday, 1 o'clock Eastern Time. This is E-Person Monday, tackling your emails. Elizabeth, I have a day off, so to speak, while my husband takes our 6 kids on a field trip with their uncle. I'm listening to your show. Time prohibits me from being on hold. But we get flack from our family constantly about the number of our children. One of our kids mentioned to my brother-in-law that they were praying for another sibling. I should mention that the kids are 12 and a half down to 3 and a half, 4 boys, 2 girls. His reaction was akin to one I would expect if we were to say that we planned to start a rattlesnake collection
in one of our bedrooms. Homeschooling is the right choice for us. I know that I have a time in my life that I will relish the memories of for the rest of my life. Kids have no electronics except for a non-internet desktop, which we use for typing papers, math, software, etc. Each child plays a musical instrument. We pretty much eliminated all television except for the occasional Andy Griffith show. Nip it in the bud. The boys serve mass, and we're at mass about three times a week. It's hard, Dr. Ray. We lose our tempers. We have all the junk that comes around to anybody, and I end up in the confessional reciting the list of all the horrible ways I lost my patience with my children, blah, 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 and no, I don't always like my kids. Wasn't it amazing how much holier we were before children? I was. Man, I was a holy dude in my mind. Then the kids started coming. We're living around these little creatures. Unsocialized. Immoralized when younger. Self-centered. Self-absorbed. Sounds a lot like me. I defy any homeschooling mom to be able to tell me truthfully that they never, ever feel like selling their kids to the cheapest buyer. But Dr. Ray, it's depressing to hear all this from family members. I hear what she's saying. She's essentially saying, look, I recognize the reality of this. I recognize the frustrations along with the great times. I understand this. But all she's hearing is the negative side, the downside. It drives me nuts. And I just prefer to keep my distance because they will never get it. Elizabeth, let me jump into your email here. They might get it. You know why? Because they'll watch your kids. And they'll see your kids are pleasant and appealing and mature and attractive and... Well, bring those ones around. Don't bring the tough ones around, okay? I just had certain kids I took out in public. The rest of them I said, I don't know where they are today. I don't know where they are. They'll see that. You can be around your relatives if you don't give them the power to make you feel junky. Like I feel like Beaver Cleaver. Well, gee, lady. You must feel pretty creepy. She says, we have friends who are just as insane as we are, and I prefer to stick with them. Well, I would say this. Rather than you sticking with them, I could see how you would prefer their company, and indeed, that is your main source of social enjoyment and support. We all do this. We all have people that we relate to much more easily than others. However, if you write your family off, at least if they notice that you're putting distance and you're finding excuses not to show up at a family function where everybody else is there, they can read it. And it'll only convince them that you're just as weird as they think you are. You got to show them that indeed what you've chosen to do with your life is working out quite well for you, thank you, and that your kids are not these weirdos, but indeed they're pleasant, enjoyable, nice to be around kids who can talk with adults. They're sociable. At least one of our family friends has grown children. They have a seminarian son. So I cling to that light at the end of the tunnel while our relatives click their tongues. Isn't it interesting? There's kind of an ironic here. Remember on Saturday Night Live, the church lady? Oh, could it be Satan? They gave this caricaturish, puritanical, uptight, braided head woman. Who was it played by? Jim? It wasn't Jim Carrey, was it, Andrew? Who played the church lady? I forget. Anyway, the point was that this is religious people. Religious people are like this. They're all kind of stuffy. Uptight, tongue-clicking. They're worried that somebody somewhere is having some fun. But I find it ironic. It seems to me. Elizabeth here is reflecting a phenomenon that I find pretty common.
which is the tongue clickers are now the folks who don't have religion and are clicking their tongues at the people who do. Irony can be pretty ironic, can't it? The brother, the brother-in-law. In essence, I can't believe you're brainwashing your children to want another kid. You want another kid, you're crazy. But these kids are just doing what they're told. He can't understand that these kids, these six kids, love this. They got brothers and sisters all over the place. Yeah, they fight, but they like this. Our 10 kids, they always had somebody to play with. Man, if they were mad at one person, they play with the other one. It's easy. And I always had somebody who liked me. If five of them didn't like me, I still had five who did. 50% approval rating. Pretty good. Higher than any politician.
No, he can't understand this. The brother-in-law can't understand this. Why? Because he reflects the cliche of our culture. How could
six kids who are not getting their share of attention, you know, want another one? This is their mother putting ideas in their heads.
You know, if you can, Elizabeth, you know what you might want to tell them? Why don't you ask the kids what they think?
The older ones might say, Uncle John, we like having brothers and sisters. This isn't Mom's idea. We think it's cool.
All right. When we come back, we're going to find out a little girl. Is she hypersensitive? It's interesting that the parents see her this way. When I first read the e-person here, I thought, whoa, highly sensitive kid. Or highly emotional. There might be a difference. I'm Dr. A.
Tired of expensive and immoral health insurance? CMF Curo is the first of its kind Catholic healthcare sharing experience. It's affordable, Christ-centered healthcare and is faithful to church teachings. It provides access to medical care that protects your religious liberty and respects the gospel of life. Live your faith, choose life, and join CMF Curo today. CMF Curo empowers families to experience Christ in their healthcare. Alleluia. That's CMFCURO.com.
Heart to Heart, a Catholic Women's Apostolate, meets this Thursday the 8th at Domino's Farms in Ann Arbor. This month's speaker is Dr. Monica Miller. Her new book, The Authority of Women in the Catholic Church, seeks to clear up confusion on the role of women in the church and provides a full and fresh theology of the indispensable role women play in the covenant of redemption. That's this Thursday starting at 7:30 p.m. at Lobby H of Domino's Farms. For more information, go to hearttoheartcwa.com.
Republicans, Democrats, no matter which political party is in office, there are always investment opportunities to be found. The Ave Maria Mutual Funds won't compromise the moral beliefs of its investors. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. The portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and moral values. Call toll-free 866-AVE-MARIA or at AveMariaFunds.com.
Schwartz Investment Counsel, Inc., a registered investment advisor established in 1980, serves as an investment advisor. All mutual funds are subject to market risk, including possible loss of principal. To obtain performance through the most recent month-end and a prospectus, which includes objectives, risks, fees, expenses, and other information that you should read and consider carefully before investing, the number is 1-866-AVE-MARIA or at AveMariaFunds.com. Distributed by Ultimus Fund Distributors, LLC.
Now, as a grad school, I had to develop tests. Basically, these tests, because psychologists are into assessment, I had to develop tests on how to gauge competence in particular areas, all right? So for parents, I developed a test, the toy test I called it. What you do is you get a 55-gallon box of Legos.
Or you can substitute roofing tack nails. Have a friend or your spouse spread them all over the house. Put on a blindfold. Try to walk to the bathroom or the kitchen without screaming, because this would wake a child at night. And you can do this, this toy test, would indicate you might be ready to have little children. Speaking of little children, Dr. Ray, my wife and I have a daughter who turned 3 this past weekend. She's an incredibly bright little girl, verbal, articulate. She also seems to be what a lot of psychologists and others these days are calling, quote, highly sensitive. Not autistic, as far as we can tell. Oh, gosh. You got this really bright kid, and all of a sudden, as far as we can tell, we don't know she's autistic. Oh, my. But really, he has really, really kind of in italics, sensitive emotionally and in sensory ways. Noise, large groups, smells, textures, etc. She freaks out, for example, and I mean loses it over the idea of washing her hair or even having a damp cloth applied to her hair. And she went through a long stretch where she did the same thing over taking a bath at all, especially with soap. At present, we can occasionally get her to sit in a bath, but we have to find ways to sneak a little soap in. I know all kids go through periods of finding it difficult to share, but she's totally preoccupied with it and goes nuts. Once again, nuts is in italics. Now, John here, he's not qualified to say nuts. Over the possibility that she might have to share a toy or a swing on the playground. I don't want to share baby Anna. I want Bridget to come over, but I don't want to share my toys. Now, here is the crux. Dr. Ray, it seems to be much more than a tantrum. There's something deeper going on. When it gets really bad, she can start to hyperventilate. She gets angry when my wife and I talk to each other too much, or when we talk to others. Stop talking! She'll yell, and that's embarrassing. This week, she got mad at my wife over something and went to her art table and drew with a black crayon some fairly disturbing pictures, and then explained it was a picture of a little girl who was mad at her mama because she didn't get a cookie. All right, where do I begin here, John? All right, you start out by saying, gee, there's some sensory stimulation problems here. She seems to react. Okay. The question becomes, is this some kind of overstimulating reaction in her system? Or is it, at least in part, I don't like this. I don't want this. I find it unpleasant. I don't want to take a bath. I don't like soap. I don't like this. Now, some of the evidence that might indicate this is more of a I don't like this is because she doesn't want to share her toys. Well, now that's not a sensory stimulation problem. I don't want to share my toys. She gets mad when you talk to your wife. That's not a sensory stimulation problem. She goes over to her table and drew a black crayon. Notice she said a black crayon. John, you're a real psychoanalyzer here. I can understand this, my friend. Black crayon. You mentioned black crayon because, you know, it's typically the sign of anxiety. Well, that's what you think. Some fairly disturbing pictures. How do you know? Then she explained it was a picture of a little girl who was mad at her mama because she didn't get a cookie. Pretty straightforward as far as I'm concerned. So really, and John, I hear this from so many parents. It seems to be much more than a tantrum. There's something deeper going on. That's what you said. Many parents, and I would assume this is your first child, are shell-shocked at how kids can erupt. They can look pathological. They can look like every screw is loose. What is going on here?
Now, one of the rules when you're a little kid and you get mad, let it all hang out. Let's say I go to Ave Maria Radio and EWTN and my boss, Al Krester, folks down there at EWTN, Tom Price, or Dave Vacherez, says to me, "You know, Ray, we don't think you're doing a very good job. Matter of fact, we think you kind of stink." Now, I don't know if I would start knocking stuff off their desk. Can't believe you said that! Kick your door! I'm going to yank your curtains off the wall. I probably wouldn't do that. One, I'm too old and it takes too much energy. But when you're an adult, you have certain limits, for the most part, to what you do. And if you don't have those limits, you usually end up in prison. When you're a little kid, you don't have those limits. You don't have any limits at all. You can do what you want. She hyperventilates? Of course. She's upset. A lot of kids hyperventilate when they get mad. They do. They just start to hyperventilate. Now, here is where the picture becomes more confirming. John says, "My wife has read tons of books and articles online about highly sensitive children. And our daughter fits the profile perfectly. But we really feel helpless when it's really bad." John, let us say that your daughter is this overreactive emotional kid. Let's just say this is the case. And by the way, I will tell you, you're not the first parent I have heard who have assessed things this way when they are in the midst of this really meltdown fit. I would say, is it one parent, one other parent? No! It's about 1,000 others. Should we be concerned? Or is just characteristic of a three-nager? That's cute. I like that, John. With a little something extra since she's so sensitive and something she'll most likely grow out of. Good news, bad news, John. She's not likely to grow out of it if you don't deal with it. When she erupts like this, whether it's because of being highly sensitive or not, it's nasty. Are you going to say, "Well, gee, she's highly sensitive, so therefore we allow her to yell and scream at us? We allow her to kick things over. We allow her to yell, 'Don't talk!' We allow her not to have friends over and not to share her toys." Are you going to allow that? I think she needs to be disciplined. Put in a corner. And if you say, "Dr. Ray, we can't get her to go in a corner," then the problem is authority now. So, I can't know, John. I'm not in your house. But dealing with the standard stuff that I hear from parents, you fit the profile of an awful lot of them who are shell-shocked by a kid who has strong emotional meltdowns. And my guess would be that there's a bit of an overanalyzing factor in this picture. My wife has read tons of books and articles about highly sensitive children, and our daughter fits the profile perfectly. Of course! Highly sensitive, / highly emotional, / highly reactive, / highly acting out children pretty much all look alike. They do. My son John was 4 when we adopted him. Came from a bad, bad background. Bad background. Threw fits as soon as he breathed. Constantly. My wife said, "Ray, please identify his trigger. What is it that makes John throw these kinds of fits?" One day I announced proudly, "Honey, based upon my years of training, I figured it out. What is it, Ray?" "He's breathing." We multi-consequenced John when he threw these fits. In other words, he lost the next 5 or 6 things that he asked for. After a fit like that, you can't throw a fit like that and not have all kinds of discipline. And it worked very quickly. That's right. Only took about a year for John to finally get the idea, and maybe grow up a little bit, that when you do this kind of thing, there's going to be multiple consequences. There you go, John. Just a few thoughts. Could talk about this for a long time, but I got to go because I got a break.
EWTN has some of the most profound intellects in media, like Al Cresta.
The first man, Adam, was a living soul. The last man, Adam, was a life-giving spirit.
Father Mitch Pacwa.
There'll be a transformation of the material world into a glorified state.
Dr. Ray Guarendi.
My advice to you is going to be to shut your mouth.
Well, 2 out of 3 ain't too bad.
Oh, come on.
The Doctor
guys.
Is in with Dr. Ray Guarendi on EWTN Radio.
Come on, give me another chance.
You can learn a lot about a university when you see what stands at its center. At the heart of Franciscan University of Steubenville stands Christ the King Chapel, a visible sign that Jesus is Lord over our spiritual life, campus community, athletics, and our academic community, where professors help students develop a passion for knowledge and truth. Discover a university that's academically excellent and passionately Catholic. Discover Franciscan University of Steubenville at franciscan.edu.
The mystery of death has troubled and fascinated humanity since the beginning of time. Our own experiences of mourning deceased family members and friends teach us the deep longing of the human heart for hope in the face of death. Many Catholics have lost a clear sense of how to face this experience with faith and peace. Planning funeral services in advance is not only a gift to our family and friends, but it is an affirmative way to embrace our own call to resurrection. Please take this time to call your local parish or diocese about pre-planning your cemetery and funeral rites. This message brought to you by Catholic Management Services.
Sacred Heart Medical Center now has expanded hours in its faith-based medical practice in Livonia and Brighton, making it more convenient for you to schedule an appointment. Check out the newly updated suite in Brighton. And don't forget that Mary Maselli is certified in the Creighton model of NFP. Learn more today by calling the New Brighton number, 810-588-4214. That's 810-588-4214 or online at sacredheartmedical.org.
Hi, I'm Peggy Stanton, and I'm inviting you to join me on Power from the Pews. When I interview the people who are engaged in remarkable ministries that are making a real difference in their parishes and the world. That's this Saturday at 11 a.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. on Ave Maria Radio.
Doubles here. No mind doubles here. Dr. Ray Guarendi doing my own stunt voices. My own discipline. No teleprompter. Nope. Just saying it as it comes to me. Delighted to have you with me here on The Doctor Is In. I got to do this quick. I'm not going to give it enough attention. Dr. Ray. I'm looking for advice on how to trust my husband after porn addiction. He says he's not viewed porn for years now. I want to believe him. I have no proof. No websites, nothing on his history. I will seriously doubt, though, when he doesn't go to communion, or he's in a bad mood, or he puts me down. All on the same day or weekend. I asked him last night after he did all three of the above. He said no, he hadn't viewed pornography. I believe him. But I'm still very sad, and I can't get past this. It must bother him that I'm still not able to trust him after 6 years. What can I do? Well, when you say you can't get past this, you can. What you're saying is my feeling isn't where I want it to be. But you don't live according to feelings. You live according to a decision. Your decision is you have decided to trust him. You have no evidence that he hasn't. And if you say he feels bad, you don't want to do that to your marriage. You already had a devastating blow to your marriage when you found out about the pornography. And if indeed he has left it behind, that's wonderful. So now you don't want to have it just reverberate throughout your marriage. I can't get past this. Of course you can. Of course you can. You don't have to be ruled by that feeling. That feeling of how bad I react.
When you say, if he doesn't go to communion, he's in a bad mood, he puts me down, and you immediately attribute it to maybe he's back to pornography. Well, it could be he's not going to communion for some other reason, he's in a bad mood for some other reason, and he argues with you for some other reason. That's all part of being human. I have no idea whether he's viewing pornography again. Neither do you, really. It comes down to making a decision. I will decide that he's not. Keep in mind, think about this. If he is, you really can't stop it at this point. It's been 6 years. You have no evidence. So either he's really good at being sneaky, or he's innocent. That's one. Two, if he is not doing this, then you are creating problems in your marriage from something that should have been over a long time ago. You make a decision, dear lady. You basically say, I have no choice but to move forward. And those feelings that threaten to pull me down, I will not give them the power. I will act in trust. I will act as though I believe. All right. Gotta run. This is Dr. A. Gurindi. I do so much appreciate you being with me here on The Doctor Is In. Monday through Friday, 1 o'clock Eastern Time on the EWTN, Global Catholic Radio Network. Co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN. Some 330 plus stations domestically, 440 worldwide. Delighted to be part of it. Walk with God.
The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Would you like a copy of this program? If you miss a part of this program or want to hear it again, Ave Maria programming can be made yours when you order. Just call 734-930-4506. Within a few weeks, you'll receive a copy of this show and any others you want to order on CD. Call 734-930-4506.
Hi, I'm Al Cresta. Cultural Madness and Catholic Sanity: How to Live in Love Without Illusion in This New America. That's the title for our October 17th conference in Dearborn, Michigan. America is adrift on some rough seas, and Catholic truth is supposed to be a lighthouse. Complacent, self-identified Catholics, however, have hid Christ's light under a bushel. And so the people are walking in darkness and imagining that it's fantasy. Americans are making up reality as we go along. We've made up a new definition of marriage. Some parents refuse to assign a gender to their newborns. Let the child make it up as he goes along. President Obama denies that we're in a religious war with Islamic jihadists, but saying so doesn't make it so. Contraception activists have long promised liberation. They don't look at reality. We're a culture of single-parent families, epidemic STDs, gender confusion, and a 50% out-of-wedlock birth rate. Hey, Planned Parenthood can now monetize aborted babies, and young girls get applause for being hot rather than for being smart. What about men? They're making up romance during pornographic laptop dances. We're amusing ourselves to death and surrounded by perpetual entertainment, extravagant advertising promises, and false gospels are assuring